Hey, Mark, Jordan, we have a brand new intro. The first episode went so well that somebody from the New York City chapter of Nottingham Forest Football Club stepped up and did us a brand new one. Have you guys heard it yet?
Oh, it is top draw. It's class. It sends a shiver down the spine, puts the hairs stand up on the back of your neck, makes me feel like I'm back at home. What a tune.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's absolutely epic. Everything at Forest is new anymore. Kits, managers, and now podcast intros. Top stuff.
All right, guys. This is episode 2, Forest to the Max. It's the Forest Fancast. Let's get into it.
I'm Ryan Yates, and you're listening to Forest Fancast in North America. City ground, Old Miss rolling in from the trends. My desire is always to be.
He goes for goal and finds it. That is stunning from Joe Lolly. City ground, a mist rolling in from the trench. My desire is always to be here. Oh, city ground.
Welcome to the Forest North America Fancast.
Guys, what do you think? Tom Wardle, that's amazing.
Yeah, fantastic. Like I said, I reached out to him as soon as I heard it. I'm going to start downloading his music like crazy. This lad needs our support. He is a hardcore Forest fan, and that is magnificent. Can't thank him enough.
Yeah, just to echo those sentiments, absolutely class tune from Tom there. And I've heard him a couple of times now. Absolutely brilliantly talent. He's a brilliant talent. And yeah, hopefully we can give him some more support and plug him through the podcast. I think, Corey, you've got some of his social media details, right, to give him a bit of a plug.
Absolutely. I just want to let everybody know that's listening. Thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed that, it is Tom Wardle. He's a huge fan. He was born and raised in Nottingham. The song that we just heard, here's how it worked. He voiced it and played the music. He sends it over to California. He gets backup singers to sing back behind him on the second go round of it, and also layered in City Ground singing behind him. And so if you turn that up loud enough, if you're not affected by that, you need to stop listening to this podcast.
Amen. I mean, I, when we talked about launching this pod, one of the things I said to you boys was we've got to have, you know, Molly Kintyre in there somewhere, because it does. I'm so far away from home, and it does make me, it puts me right there, puts me back in the City Ground. And so to hear that was just, oh, magnet. I like Tom Wardle so much. I'm wondering if he has a half decent left foot, because we need a left back. So I think draft him in.
That's great. And yes, he does have social media. Please recognize and support this guy, because he did step up and help out the cause as we're launching this podcast. It's Tom Wardle Music, and that's on Twitter. You can also follow him on Facebook, and I guarantee he has Instagram. More importantly, this guy is not just a songwriter and a performer. I mean, he opened up for Michael Bolton, Bryan Adams. He's been in Rolling Stone magazine. So we have a horse up in New York City pumping us intro music, and we really appreciate it. Guys, let's just get right into it. It's a big show today. We have a lot of things to talk about, including the split kit. We have a split kit that we want to get into. And the great philosopher Ron Swanson did mention once, never half-ass two things, whole ass one thing. We'll get into that in a minute. The new away kit is out. We went on social media for reaction. Jordan and Mark are going to get us caught up on what they've seen so far with the team. And we're going to get some expert insight on Forest with today's guest, Max from Match Day with Max. All right, guys, let's get into it. The split kit is out. Mark and I are on the same page about this. Jordan, you first.
I'm going to try and predict your guys' views as we go through, but I feel like I'm stepping back in time, don't you, a few years ago? A sneakily familiar kit. First of all, I'm glad I predicted blue. That was the first one I predicted last week.
Yes, you did.
We got the blue shirt.
You didn't say what blue.
Didn't say what blue. They gave us two blues instead of one. And we got the half Derby, half Leicester shirt that came out as we kind of came through.
Ouch.
I really want to like it. There's something deep down that is saying this is just as about 5 years ago. Yeah. Really struggling with this one. Don't know about you guys, what your thoughts are.
Well, I got to buy two of them. so I can cut them in half and then stitch them together.
That's awesome. I can't respond to that. That's perfect.
It's funny because I said to you boys when they came out, the messages are flying around, and I said, I actually like the blues they chose, but if you cover up one half of the shirt, like, and just look at the one solid half, it looks really good. And you wish, oh, I wish they'd done it, you know, with that entire blue. And the same is true of the other half as well. It's bizarre, but the two together, it's fine. I mean, I actually prefer it to the home shirt, but that, you know, anyone listened to last episode knows that's faint praise indeed.
I honestly, it could have gone either way. They should have probably just stuck with one of the colors. I really like the dark blue, and it would have looked great with a little hint of red and maybe white in there somewhere. But going with the light blue and the dark blue, I don't know. Not a huge fan of it. I am more of a fan of the home kit. It is a cool looking kit. And if you were on their social media this week, they did show a lot of people pulling the half and half kit off of the racks, but it looked like there were a lot of people going after the home kits as well. So I predict that at City Ground, it's going to be red kits and none of the half and halves.
Yeah, I think, yeah, just looking at the social media from today, the club store looked really, really rammed to people getting the home shirt. I'm in the same alignment with you, Corey. I think the home shirt's better than the away shirt this year. And I'm still figuring out the collar on the away shirt. It's got like that weird little V-neck with a where a button should be, but there's no button, and it's got like a little dip. One of those where I think we've copied and pasted a previous shirt. Feels like the home shirt had a little bit of a resemblance to the previous kit. So I think we're just doing a throwback one this year. So I'm going to say the third kit again is going to be a previous kit copycat. I'm just hoping it's the kind of 1996 yellow Labatt one with the big black splattering all over it.
Outrageous.
I really want that. Macron. Oh. Macron yellow splat third kit. Can't wait for it.
Oh my God.
It's interesting you guys crowing about the home shirt, because we put a poll on the Forest Fancast Twitter account, and three options: love the shirt, take my money, it's fine, it'll do, and hate the heck out of it, essentially. No votes for take my money. Basically, 50-50 split. I mean, granted, I think only about 15 people voted, but still, not a single vote for take my money. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I forgot to vote on that one.
Yeah. They're waiting on the... let's just go to another kit I saw this week. The Manchester United kit that's from... looks like giraffe skin. It looks terrible.
Yeah, snake skin, I think it is.
Yeah, there's that. And then Man City have the yellow and pink thing going on this year. And then Huddersfield Town with the prank kit as well this year from Paddy Power.
That was great.
But now they've not got a sponsor, and it actually looks pretty sweet. But there's been a few shockers popping about this week. So I think we're just in the least bad territory as we released our away kit this week.
All right, so we're done with fashion until the third kit comes out and ruins our day. Maybe it'll be just amazing. Maybe it'll be like mirror balls, right? Be made out of mirrors. Anyways, yeah, maybe. Okay, so let's talk about the team a little bit. We've had a couple friendlies. As we're recording this, we finished a match today with Crystal Palace and won. So that is a great thing. Jordan, Mark, can you kind of run with it a little bit and tell us about the squad you're seeing and the kind of direction we're moving towards opening day?
So it's been an interesting preseason so far. Obviously, we had the 0-0 against Dundee, and then off to Greece. Great victory against Atromitos. Obviously, got our asses handed to us against Olympiacos, which is nothing to be particularly upset about. I don't think they are a strong team. They're further into their preseason than we are. And then their Palace game this evening, which I didn't get to see, unfortunately, because of work commitments. I was following it kind of through Twitter, which is, I've realized now, is the 2019 version of CFAX. for any listeners old enough to remember CFAX.
I just about remember it.
Okay, thank you, Jordan. I appreciate you saying that, even though it's probably not true. And so, yeah, Forest came out 1-0 against Premier League team, which is great. I mean, that's exciting. It was a game of two halves, from what I can gather. It sounds like first half, Forest did have the best of it. Opening the scoring just over the 30-minute mark, Adama scoring his first goal for Forest, albeit in a friendly, but still getting off the mark and scoring your first goal at home. That's always a nice thing. And then second half, it sounds like Palace went to town on us. Now, they didn't have Zaha in the lineup, but they had a pretty strong lineup outside of that. So, Forest had to work hard for the victory. They had guys in the team like Hennessy, Dan, who was obviously a Forest target for a number of years, Van Aanholt, Milo Jevic, Townsend, Benteke. Oh, Benteke, what a lethal striker he is.
Benteke's so, minus one.
Exactly. So Palace played with 10 men, but still they put Forest under the gun second half. So I think we did well to come away with the victory. Hey, I know we said we were done with fashion talk, but man, that Crystal Palace away kit, that is sick. That is a good looking kit.
Naughty, isn't it? And they had such a good release video. And I was looking at the Palace Twitter about their lineup and trying to find the stream for the game today. That's a naughty kit.
It is lovely. Puma, come up trumps. So I'm going to run through the Forest lineup quickly and then see what Jordan's take is on what went down today. So Muric now seems to be the nailed on number one in goal. No debate there. Cash, Robinson, Worrell. Interesting seeing Worrell in there. I'm a fan of Worrell, but he's definitely been... He's made a few mistakes last season. It sounds like he's already made a couple in preseason, but coach seems to want to stick with him, so that's interesting. Milosevic, Watson, Graben, Semedo, Adama, Silva, and of course, Lolly, and then a strong bench, all of whom saw action tonight. So, yeah, Jordan, what's your take?
Yeah, so thoughts on the game today. Again, I'm in a similar boat to you guys where I didn't really get much chance to watch it. I think that's the downside of being between 5 and 8 hours behind the UK when all the evening kickoffs go off. And I think just for an insight for the guys that back in the UK, Champions League is an afternoon for us, unfortunately. And we struggled to catch some of the games whilst we're over here. But great to get a result. And I've kind of gone through the past few games and I don't really want to read into the results much. And I'm just, it's around kind of the guys gelling together, starting to get used to the system. Read a great article from Milosevic this week in the Post saying that he's really enjoying going to training every day, knowing that they're playing passing football. I know we've shifted some of the friendlies because we had a ridiculous amount set by Martin O'Neill before his departure. So yeah, I'm not going to read in too much into it. Didn't catch much of the game, but sounds like we've got a few kind of players to keep an eye on. So I think Adoma did brilliantly. Muric made a great save today by all accounts, which is great. But I think Semedo is our new Aaron Shibola, who is on loan from Villa and might not need him to stick around too long and might get sent to the reserves fairly quickly. Are probably my early thoughts on the preseason friendly today. And I think looking back at the Greece trip, it's great that we have that partnership forming with Olympiacos. I think it's great that the two fan groups got to meet each other and hang out. I think it was a bit like the old Spider-Man meme where you're pointing at the same kind of person at the same time and with Olympiacos and both teams playing red. And, you know, we got some more insights that the Olympiacos changing room looks exactly like the new stadium for the City Grounds changing room, and the similarities are starting to come through. And the atmosphere looked incredible for a friendly. I don't know if you saw the pictures, guys, but all that pyrotechnic going on and other pieces. So maybe some lessons for us to kind of bring back to the City Ground at some point this season. But yeah, I'm kind of not fussed about some of the scores here. I'm going to kind of judge them in the regular season. Yeah, I think there's a few positives coming through, but also a few negatives. But Sami Amiobi looks like an absolute player for us after getting slated by everybody on social media after signing him for a one-year deal. And the way he's kind of started off, looks like he's playing for a contract this year that goes beyond the end of the season. And I think we may have kind of got ourselves a really good deal from him.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how he goes through the season. It's not how you start, obviously, but you want to start strong. And he certainly has done that. It's interesting what you said about the atmosphere. I agree with you 100%. It was remarkable. It reminds me of, I was very lucky. I got to go to see a Roma preseason game in the Stadio Olimpico, and they were playing the Iranian national team of all people.
Wow.
And it was mind-blowing. I mean, the banners were full out, the flares were going, the singing, the chanting, and it was a nothing game. And I got to see Totti and Cassano on the day. That was pretty amazing. But yeah, it's a different level. It was very exciting to see, and I'm sure the players got a real kick out of it. I got to share with you very quickly, Palace put out a tweet before the game. It was not in relation to the game, but it was just sort of talking about, I don't know, the club in general, I suppose. And they had mentioned that they were per the new global club soccer rankings, which you can find at projects.538.com. That's all in words, no numbers there. projects.538.com. I guess this is an organization that update global soccer rankings every year, and they have this complicated system for doing so. And Palace were bragging on the fact that They were now the 46th best team in the world and apparently the 10th best team in the Premier League. So not bad going, even in preseason, for Forest to beat the 46th best team. Guys, anyone want to have a punt at where Forest are in that list?
Oh, man. Sounds like a Russian robot built that website with that web link. But, yeah.
120?
No, sadly higher than that.
Wow. Okay.
Higher than 120. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, we come in at a rather depressing 200.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Although we are surrounded by some pretty prestigious company. We have Fluminense, two spots above us, Vélez Sarsfield from Argentina, Rapid Vienna, just a space below us, Rayo Vallecano, a couple below, and then some other English clubs knocking around in and around our spaces, Blackburn, Sheffield Wednesday, Hull. I was depressed to see that Derby were about 20 points higher than us. I don't understand how. 20 places higher than us. Yeah, I'm
not quite sure
how.
That's a kicker, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, we need to put that right this season, yeah. I think.
I thought that was funny. That was rather amusing. And back to your point, Jordan, regarding preseason, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is about gelling the team, particularly when you have a new manager. This is about bringing disparate pieces together and finding which pieces connect, which partnerships make sense, certainly through the spine of the team. There are only two preseason games left now, though. A real test on July 26th at the City Ground against Real Sociedad. Followed up with a game at Lincoln City, which is also going to be challenging. Away at Lincoln, that's not an easy place to go, and they have a good management team out there right now, and that'll be a nice one for Forest to work on before they head into the opener on August the 3rd. So, but you have to be happy, I think, with the way that the team's gelling right now. Again, I'm not sure we expect to get too much out of Olympiacos, but the other results look encouraging. And the team itself, I think, is starting to kind of come together. And dare we have hope? Dare we, guys?
Bring on the baggies.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Mark, I have a question. When you're done playing, either practicing or you're done with a match, where do you put your boots?
That is a great question, Corey. And it's incredibly timely. Who'd have thought to ask that? So this is going to be our opportunity to, I guess, announce our new sponsor, right?
Let's do it. I think it's fantastic that somebody has recognized that we're trying to do something awesome here. And let's make a point here. A lot of people wanted a podcast for Nottingham Forest, and we are that something. So just try and help us out here, support it. And we found a sponsor that really wants to help move this thing forward. Why don't you go ahead and announce who it is?
Absolutely. Delighted to announce that the Forest Fancast first sponsor is a company called Boot Bags, BOOTBAGS. The website is bootbags.us. So very easy to remember. And you can find them on Instagram, and I'm not sure how they did this, but they snagged the handle on Twitter, Boot Bags. So that's very straightforward. But the way I came to find out about these guys and get them involved with our podcast is because the company is run by two current professional footballers who both play for the Colorado Springs Switchbacks, who folks listening to our first show might remember that is my hometown team here. They play for the Switchbacks in the USL, which is the division here in the US directly below MLS. And first thing I'll tell you about the two guys, Jordan Schweitzer, who's a Canadian international, and Shane Malcolm, who's a Guam international, is that they are two of the nicest human beings you would ever want to meet. I mean, set aside for a moment that they're excellent footballers, just fantastic guys. And I think that's underscored by the fact that they've created this fantastic product, which is essentially a professionally designed boot bag, which the professionals themselves are picking up. And we're hoping lots of other folks are going to pick up too. But they're doing this as part of a kind of a two-part project. So they wanted to create something. They wanted something that could be used by pros, could be used by amateurs, could be enjoyed by all those who love the game of football. But they also have their company set up so that I think it's every 5 bags they sell, they are involved in a project that will enable them to give a pair of new or lightly used football boots to a child in need. So to a child in an underdeveloped community, or, you know, financially struggling, maybe doesn't have access to that equipment. And Jordy and Shane are going to make sure that you know, those kids get access to cleats, to boots, so that they can enjoy the beautiful game. So not only are they our first sponsor, not only are they awesome guys and great footballers, but this is a great social cause as well. So if you could go to bootbags.us, check out their gear. I already ordered a bag for my daughter, ordered it in Forest Red, obviously. Fantastic red bag. That's probably going to be the best seller. But if you could go check him out, I know the guys would really appreciate it. We'd love to know that fans of an English football team are supporting their project.
Jordan, what boot bag are you getting?
Yeah, I was just delighted to see they had a red bag on there. So I think that's going to be the one that I order and go from there. And yeah, you're right, Mark. It's 5 bags sold. New pair of boots for those less fortunate. So both helps grow the game and gets more people involved in soccer, which is excellent. If we can get as many of our listeners to dip into their pockets to support these guys, they've been gracious in being our first sponsor and sponsoring the podcast. They've got a great product and following on the pattern of nice guys called Jordan coming from Canada, right? With the guy finding the company. So
indeed.
So let's support the guys and, props to them for sponsoring us.
Yeah, I agree. And how about Ryan Yates jumping on board and leading off the podcast now before we play the intro? Is Ryan just an amazing dude for sending that in?
Yeah, I just have to echo that, Corey. Really nice of him. I know he supported the meetup that we had last year in Chicago, donating a signed shirt for us as part of the raffle that raised, a lot of money for the NFFC ladies and a local charity in Chicago. So yeah, props to him, a real Forest born and bred player, and excited to see how he plays this season.
And it's going to sound like I'm pandering now, but he was a favorite of mine last season. I'm always excited when one of our own comes through. It's interesting. I was listening to a podcast last year. They were talking about his time at County and saying just how loved he was at that club, not just what he contributed as a player, but just how he conducted himself as a professional, how approachable he was. So I was delighted for him when he broke into the Forest team last season and arguably was one of the top 2 or 3 players of last season. So yeah, I mean, to see and hear him do this, on the one hand, I was completely flummoxed, like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. On the flip side, didn't surprise me in the slightest, but very, very grateful that he did that. And obviously now he is our official Forest Fancast spirit animal.
I agree. And when I order the home kit, it's going to be Yates on the back. Jordan's going to get the split kit and it's going to say Yates on the back.
Well, Jordan's going to get the split kit and it's going to say Y-A-T, but it won't finish there. Just on the one half of the shirt.
That's funny. I need to have the other half of the other matching side.
Exactly.
Yates on the back and the other two.
That's good stuff. Let's have a North America update. Jordan, let's talk about membership a little bit.
Yeah, so membership numbers continue to rise and thanks to those that have also signed up since the first podcast.
You're welcome.
Nice. I like that from you, Mark. Great numbers continue to rise. I think some of our members are probably some of the biggest fans of this podcast. I know we had quite a few listens, but I'm really interested in the repetitive listening stats because I think Big Wes might be up there given the love he's shown us. So shout out to Big Wes for that. Just to reiterate the ask here. So $30 is the membership fee, and it gets you all of the supporters club benefits as well as some additional North American benefits. So just quickly want to rattle off the benefits. I didn't cover them as comprehensively as I could have done in episode one. So it gives you the access to the boat club. So whenever people go down to games back in Nottingham, you get access to the Riverside Boat Club right next to the ground, which has cheap beers and a load of other supporters club members, which is great. You have the opportunity of entering the Nottingham Forest Supporters Club monthly prize draw, £50 prize each month. So that will pay you probably 2 years worth of memberships, which is great, or about 10 pints at the boat club. Social events. There's loads of kind of more broad events around the supporters club. So access to those, regular meetings and access with Forest. This is only continuing to rise at the moment as new stadium development, etc. So it gives you that access. Also access to the supporters club box. So the supporters club have a box at the City Ground. I know the Toronto Trickies took advantage of that during our Christmas visit last year. So I think we'll arrange that as part of a North America trip at some point this year, as per the survey that was sent out this week. You can also get tours of the City Ground. So I highly encourage that for those North American fans that are yet to go to the city or behind the scenes. You can get that through the Supporters Club, as well as some other discounts. So they're the core benefits. And then the North American benefits that we've built on this year as part of the team. So first one is the lapel pin badge. We've not released a photo of that yet, but it is gorgeous. There's only a limited edition of 100 of those at the moment, so get your memberships in quickly. We also have the...
Is it a silhouette of your beautiful face, Jordan?
I have a face of the radio, and it's going to stay that way, I think, on that one.
By far, he's the best-looking person in this podcast.
Hands down.
Oh, you're spoiling me, guys.
Has everybody seen the movie Almost Famous?
Yeah.
Okay, so if we put out a shirt, Jordan would be the person in focus in the front of the shirt. Mark and I would be the fuzzy people in the back. So it's fine.
He's gone forest red, bless him.
Oh, man. You're killing me, guys. You're killing me. So, back on track. Speaking of red, they're the background on the NFFC NA stickers that you also get, showing off our beautiful logo for you to stick all over the US. I think our target's to get one in every state. So, members, please use them, stick them around, increase the profile of Nottingham Forest, North America. We also have some merchandise in the planning, so members will get a 15% discount on that. We have a monthly e-newsletter as well as then a survey that was recently sent out, so those new joiners can contribute to that, which also has the key input to our annual meetup. So a shortlist was released for that as part of the survey.
They just added the line on the survey, favorite Forest podcast too, so make sure you fill that out correctly.
Yeah, none of this Reservoir Red Dogs or anything like that. Make sure people vote for this one first. You get to vote for our North America Player of the Season. So we get an award that we send through to the UK every season. Joe Lolly won that last year.
Of course.
And then there's various free entry to competitions, as well as then, opportunity to appear on the blog and podcast. So this is linked to the Supporters Club, and they've kindly supported us through funding the introduction music from Tom Wardle. We're really excited to continue to build the presence of Forest in North America, and look forward to having some people on the podcast as we start to interview the members.
Hey guys, yeah, just before we forget, piece of Forest related news, Gediora, his Algerian team, won the African Cup of Nations today. So first piece of silverware this season for a Forest player. Get in there.
He was actually on international duty this time, rather than his the story on The Guardian right now.
What's that all about?
I'll rephrase that better at the end. But so in Daniel Taylor's article in The Guardian around the end of Martin O'Neill, apparently Adlin Gwediora refused to warm down at the end of the Ipswich game, saying, "Oh, I'm on international duty now." And it was international break. However, he wasn't selected for Algeria for that week.
That's fantastic.
Small issue there.
Anyway, yeah, 1-0 victory. And I think, I'm not sure that's Algeria's first African Cup of Nations win, but it's certainly their first in quite some time. So I know he is made up. If you follow him on Twitter at all, he is just beside himself right now, and so he should be. So congrats, Gediora. Bring back those good vibes, mate. And let's have a few more rockets this season, a few more of those stunning goals he used to score for us.
Well, guys, let's get to it. So we've got Max right now on the Forest Fancast. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is what you've been waiting for. He's an all-star in Nottingham. Jordan, you got his social media and everything where you can follow him.
All right. So, yeah, everyone can follow Max on Instagram and Twitter at Matchday with Max, as well as his YouTube channel, Matchday with Max. So very simple, easy to remember, should be ingrained in everyone's brains by now. Let's listen to this great interview.
Today's special guest on the Forest Fancast is Matchday with Max. You can find him on his YouTube channel, pushing 5,000 subscribers. Smash the subscribe button, folks. Winner of the 2018 Football Bloggers Award for Best Young Blogger. Max, how are you?
Very good, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, well, this is the second episode of our efforts over here in the States. You've been doing this for a little while. Walk us around match day experience at City Ground.
I'll go through my match day experience. I probably get to the grounds at around, to do some filming, get to the grounds at around 11, 12 o'clock. I walk into the City Ground past the on the River Trent, past the magnificent view of the City Ground from Trent Bridge. and then basically walk into the reception, get my pass and everything for filming, and then through the gates onto the pitch. And the world famous City Ground, the magnificent City Ground, is there. The ground staff are working on the pitch, and then go back out. Everyone's in a good mood. Everyone's looking forward to the game. People are around the shop buying things, or there's, for example, there's been a carnival atmosphere a few times. There'll be obviously classic football burger vans, a bit of chanting, and just a generally good experience. I think that's what I try to do as well with my videos, is kind of give fans from different countries opportunities to come on, give their views and opinions, and just really show them what their match day experience is like at the City Ground via a video on YouTube.
So tell me, how many generations in is your family as Forest fans?
Good question. Well, obviously, I think we're three generations in now. My dad's granddad actually used to know the ex-Knox County boss, Jimmy Cyril. So they used to go to Knox County a bit. But then I think after Forest became a bit of a bigger club, more than Notts County, they kind of went to a few games there, and I think my dad fell in love with it. And then as soon as me and my brother, when we were about, well, this was in 2009 2010, we said we wanted to go to a football game, and we wanted to go and see a big club like Manchester United or Liverpool or Manchester City. And my dad said, no, I'll take you to my club, and he took us to the City Ground for the first time. And yeah, we just fell in love with the club ever since. And then I didn't start making videos really until I was about 11, so a few years as a fan, and then kind of took it up to the next level with my YouTube channel.
Is it horrific going back and looking at your first video?
It is. I think that's a video idea, is to react to my old videos, because the difference of me and my voice is unbelievable. I can't pronounce players' names. I don't really know what I'm doing. It's a bit cringy, but it's just also the change is unbelievable. So yeah, that's definitely a video idea sometime soon.
Max, let me tell you this. I've been presenting and doing videos and radio and things like this for a long time. We really never know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just go with it. And you got to ask the questions you feel in the moment that are appropriate, and you go from there.
Yeah.
So here's our first question for you. The manager merry-go-round at City Ground. How do you feel about this?
Yeah. I did a video actually for a bit of a company I've been working with recently, Playmaker FC. And I kind of just said that it's difficult, because I don't know how to kind of give my thoughts on the situation, because I think the Forest fan base was split between, we want O'Neill to stay, we want O'Neill to go. And I was kind of sitting on the fence. I was slightly towards the end of the season, leaning towards the O'Neill out kind of fan section. But I think a positive to take out of them sacking O'Neill and sacking the manager, and now we've got Sabri Lamouchi, is really that they've acted now. They've acted quickly. I mean, I know it's 18 minutes, and people says it's a bit disrespectful to a club legend. Okay, yeah. But that just shows that the owners aren't here to mess around, and that they really want to get promotion in the next few seasons, if not this one. So I think it's good that they're acting now, instead of maybe going into the season with an unhappy squad of players, unhappy set of fans who can't get behind the manager, and that's always going to end in disaster. I've got no idea about Sabri Lamouchi. I've tried to do a bit of research on him, and all there is a YouTube video on him speaking French, and a Wikipedia page with two paragraphs of information about where he was born. So I don't know much about him, so I'll have to find out once I go to a few more pre-season friendlies this season. But let's just hope it pays off and doesn't go to plan, goes to plan, unlike the last French manager we had in a few years ago, Philippe Montagne. That didn't go to plan.
Yeah, hey Max, I've got some unfortunate news right now. I actually just got a text message from the podcast, and I've actually been fired, and the new gaffer will be here in about 15 minutes, so can you stand by?
Yes, I can.
Just kidding. They can't fire me. I'm the one producing it. So
the man behind the scenes.
Yeah, I decided to start it, and Jordan and Mark came along for the ride. They're not here today. They're out on assignment right now, finding my replacement, probably. Let's talk about Let's talk about transfers here. This is the more exciting part of a summertime. Which signings are you most excited about, Max?
Well, we announced today Albert Adoma, which I'm very pleased with. We have announced the two players on loan, on a season-long loan. I think they're from Benfica. One of them definitely is. I know that one of them is Yuri Ribeiro, if the pronunciation's correct. And then it's Alfred Semedo is the other one. And, of course, we announced City keeper on loan, on a season-long loan, Muric yesterday. So I think, again, they've acted quickly. They've given us a bit of money to spend. I know we've got a few loans and a few frees, but at the end of the day, if that's going to make the difference, because the squad doesn't need a lot of changing, to be honest, it's fit for a high championship side with a decent manager and some decent tactics behind it, and a few more additions. Like, we've got Albert Adoma, he managed to get Villa up, so let's just hope he can do the job for Forest. And I'm much more optimistic and positive for this season, but I'm optimistic and positive every season. I think Forest are going to finish first, and then another manager's sacked by Christmas, and we end up just finishing mid-table.
So let's talk about which clubs have been easiest for you to work with, being a young, aspiring journalist. Which is your favourite out there for an away game?
I think Hull City were, so they're in the Championship as well. Hull City were a really nice club. That was a friendly atmosphere. Lots of Hull fans came on. The Hull staff were great with it. Other clubs, Bolton have been okay with it. I think every club's been okay with what I do. You get the few. I had an incident at Chelsea in January time. We won't go into that, but that was just a one-off. So every other club that I've ever been to, I've even been to a Premier League club, Manchester United, and did a bit of a video there, not relating to Forest in any way, and they were fine with it. So at the end of the day, I think any club's okay with it, but you can just get a few upsets sometimes, and people can either enjoy what I do or hate it. To be honest, I like making videos, and if people don't like it and it's not their cup of tea, then fair enough. If they don't like that, I take a camera to a football game, then okay. If they do, then brilliant. I really enjoy what I do. I like meeting new people, and the support I get from it back from Forest fans and other football fans, it is pretty special, and it does make it the hard work worthwhile, really.
Max, I can kind of picture in my head your team that goes out with you either on match day or when you go do videos and interviews at the press conferences. I envision it's your dad with a pint of beer and he has an iPhone filming you. Is that close?
That is absolutely correct. Now, people think I take this big camera to games. I mean, how am I going to get the camera in the stadium? I could manage to do it at the City Ground, but not to away games. It's an iPhone with a wireless pack on the back with a wireless microphone, and it's either my dad, brother, or anybody I can get hold of to hold the camera, really.
That's what I thought. That's what we do. It's a great camera in the iPhone. It works.
I mean, it's been nice to have a few weeks off, I think, especially for my dad, because my dad works full-time, but he's also having to deal with offers that come in. So just take, for example, the other week I had an offer from Panini for some stickers, the Panini sticker company that makes stickers for, like, Premier League and football players. So they had an offer, and my dad was having to deal with that whilst working. And then there's been just cases where he's had to hold the camera, and we sometimes have a game off, maybe just for him to relax as well as me. So me and my dad work very hard on the videos. I've got lots of people that support me, and at the end of the day, really, it's trying to find the cheapest products to make the best quality videos of what I can, and the iPhone does do that. I think the iPhone's brilliant because it's out your pocket and you start filming straight away, and it's dead easy to get on the computer as well. So that is why I like the iPhone, and I don't think I'll ever change to a massive camera.
That's true. It's a lot more to carry around. Plus, if you're interviewing a great-looking lady, you can get her phone number a lot easier in your phone, correct?
Correct. I tried to get one of the presenters at the Football Blogging Awards, which I won. You can see that on one of my videos. She was very good looking. She was presenting. I went, one last thing, Emma, can I have your number? Yes, we had a laugh at that. No, so you are right.
That's hilarious.
You're right indeed.
Max, you're going to go a long way, Max. Keep it up. That's really good stuff.
Thanks very much, mate.
What rules do you have to follow at City Ground for your coverage of the team on match day?
There isn't really a lot of rules. When I first started out with Forest, because there is some rules now with the EFL and YouTube that you're not allowed to film the game. I don't film the game anyway, really. The club can trust me a lot, I think, after the last few years with working with them a bit. So I think there's not a lot of rules as long as I don't do any controversial kind of content, if that's by, I don't know, doing something wrong on the Forest's premises. So if that's like the car park near the stadium or around in the seats, but I'm not a trouble causer, so I don't do that. Yeah. So no, there's not a lot of rules really. And Forest have always supported me and backed me of what I do. So that's really good as well.
I think if you just don't become one of the screaming vloggers out there that just gets so irate one game and then just is in love with the team the next game, I think you're going to be great.
Well, I think that's why I went on the radio. I think it was a few years ago when I started all of this, and they asked me why I started it. And that was why, because I was fed up of kind of seeing from a young age, and me and a few mates talked about this, is fed up of seeing people scream and shout in front of a camera. I mean, I have nothing against people that want to film the game and kind of do a bit of a live commentary on it. I don't kind of do that, and I don't want to. Yes, my emotions sometimes do come out when I'm either angry at the ref at the end of the game, or I'm thrilled because we've gone and won 5-0. And that doesn't often happen as a Forest fan. But no, so I try to stay professional, offer a fair, balanced report of both sides, always interview away fans or home fans wherever we go, and try and just get a good video and unbiased, and that people will enjoy watching. So no screaming and shouting and all that rubbish on it.
Are you missing out on hanging out with your friends and going to matches at City Ground by doing this, or do you still make time to be able to hang out with your mates and go to games?
Yeah, that is actually a question I get quite a lot. The thing is, I think I get rewards out of putting the hard work in for it. If that's some ad revenue from YouTube, which isn't a lot, or it's going and meeting a European Cup winning side member from Forest, right, and going and interviewing them, or getting invited to a big kids football event in Nottingham and going presenting awards and kids asking for photos with me and like making out I'm some celebrity. And I went into a community event at Forest the other day, and someone was just in shock and just like started shouting Max, and I was like, what? I'm not that special, I'm not that famous. I was like, I'm not even famous. So I do make time to hang out with mates, and all my mates are pretty supportive of what I do. I think I get the Mickey taken out of me a bit at high school, but it's all a part of what you do, and you can have a laugh about it. My school are supportive of what I do. Friends and family are as well. So I don't think that's a big issue. Do I miss going to games as a fan? Sometimes, yeah. But most of the time, no, I just enjoy it because I think it's nice to be recognised. I think I'd be lying if I said it wasn't nice to be recognised.
It gets really cool, too. You'll get to meet players, meet coaches, and you just blow it off to your friends. You're like, oh, yeah,
and then
I met the coach, I met this guy. Yeah, and they're like, oh, my gosh. But then you're like, yeah, it's no big deal.
And then hopefully one day a good-looking girl comes up to me.
Hey, you got there's a theory in sales, or a theory in wanting to do interviews. You keep putting a ton in your funnel, and then eventually one comes through the other end, right? So keep asking for the numbers, Max. That's just what I'm here to tell you. If we teach anybody on this podcast anything today, if you want the girl, you got to keep asking.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah, don't be afraid.
Be confident.
And it really helps if you interview her and then ask her. It really sets
exactly. Exactly.
Hey, what about families at City Ground? How is that going? Is Forest really doing a good job bringing families into City Ground? Tell me about the sections where people can sit.
I think they do, and I kind of sit in the main stand, the Peter Taylor stand, family stand area. I think it's good that the season ticket prices, they've put them up a little bit this year, but not too much. They've not done it dramatically. It's affordable for kids. You can get put into like this. The families can get put into a drawer of getting your name to be pulled out of the hat, and you being a mascot for a certain game, or it can be maybe where you get like a little bit of a pack from, I think it's I'm not sure. There's like the mascots. I think it used to be, I think it's like Robins Reds or something, or Forest Young Fans. You get like a park. And I think it's good that they're bringing families to the football. It's attracting people to bring new fans, because the younger generation of people like myself and kind of the new generation below me in the next few years are vital for the club, because of course if they don't have a young generation like me, then who's going to support the club when in 20 years time? So it is good, and I think Forest do quite a good job. There's family fan zones at the City Grounds around where the Brian Clough stand is. I think it's a nice friendly atmosphere. I don't think families ever feel intimidated with the grounds, so it's good that they are bringing families, because they are vital for Forest and for Forest's future, really.
We've got an emerging fan base over here, and I understand that there's a huge history with Nottingham Forest, but recently there's been better television coverage over here in the States, and I feel like I found Nottingham Forest by chance just because I hate Arsenal, and I watched the Arsenal match a couple years ago in the FA Cup, and Eric Lehigh did that amazing goal, and it wasn't so much the win. It was the noise at City Ground that married me to this team. It is an amazing experience. So can you kind of give us a first-timer's recommendation on the first match that you see at City Ground? Should it be a big match? Should it just be a match?
I think any match is good. We do create an atmosphere, and there's different campaigns around at Forest. If that's the Forza Garibaldi group, there's all the other campaigns to make people feel welcome. So I think we need to create more noise at the City Grounds, and I'm glad that then the new ground, the new redevelopment of the ground, which is supposed to be done, I think by this time next year, I'm pretty sure it might be the year, another year added on to that. So hopefully when they keep it, like obviously add a few bits, it's still in the same place. It's still where people can kind of sit. There's going to be new areas. There could be a bit of safe standing introduced to create more noise. I think Forest fans do play a massive part in the noise and getting behind the team. So I would say probably the best game to come to is, it is a big game, maybe somebody like Leeds, when we play Leeds, obviously Leeds are the most, probably one of the most hated English football clubs over in England. So, or Derby, or it could even just be a normal game, a team where if Forest were in the playoffs against someone else in the playoffs, that's going to be a cagey affair. It's going to be a bit tense and the atmosphere is going to be good as well. Any game's good. And I think Forest always make you feel welcome, the fans and the fan base, and the atmosphere plays a massive part in it too as well.
Do you feel Derby's too big for the first match?
I don't know. It depends. I think don't go to Derby away as your first match.
Right.
Now, because I've only ever been to Derby away once, which was last season, and I was thinking, oh, it's not that bad. Look, there's Forest fans and Derby fans speaking to each other and like kind of walking across each other. And then 2 minutes later, I saw some massive fight broke out and the police had to intervene. So, yeah, I wouldn't go to Derby away, but because it's a bit intimidating there. But, you know,
right.
I think I'll get used to it, and I think we'll do it again next year. But Derby at home, definitely, especially when it's on a night game like it was on Monday night, it brings excitement to it. It adds fun in and under the floodlights, the noise is brilliant coming out of the City Ground.
So we waited for all of the fixtures to be released. We're actually coming to the UK the 1st through the 12th of November. On our agenda is to hit a Brighton match down on the coast, and we're going to do the coast and go all the way to Canterbury and end up back in London, and hopefully maybe catch Pulisic just because he's playing at Chelsea. And I see on the same weekend, they're playing Crystal Palace, Derby, Nottingham at City Ground. Now I need them to decide on the days to see if we can catch the train and fit it all in. The wives think that we're going to plays, wine bars, and stuff like that, but it looks like we might end up going to 3 matches, so that's going to be a very successful 12-day trip.
When you come over, yeah, definitely drop me a message and we'll sort something out, and I'm sure you need to have a taste of the City Ground. So have you never been to the City Ground?
Never, and it is on the list, so this would be the time to do it. It is our first time kind of going as adults. We have 10-year-old twins, so we haven't been able to travel at all.
really out of the country, but now we're going to.
Because I think me and my dad were talking about, or just the whole family, if we want to try and come over to New York or come to wherever and try and watch a Forest game.
That's a good idea.
In the bar with the New York fans and do a match day video from there. So that would be good. So
you would be welcome with open arms. I'm sure Dan would be there at the airport to get you.
Yes, he would. He'd be like, Max.
Yeah. Let's end with some rapid fire questions here. It's for Max. He is with Match Day with Max. You've seen him on YouTube. You guys want to make sure you follow him. It's just going to get bigger and better as he gets dialed in as a presenter over there for Nottingham Forest and maybe hopefully hired by the club, right? That would be a good deal.
Hopefully. There one day.
All right. Just keep the pressure on him. All right. Predictions for the season, Max. What do you think?
Oh, why not? Let's be positive. Let's go third place for Forest, or we'll just climb into the automatic promotion places and go up.
I'd like third or second. I think second would be a lot more relaxing.
It would. I think it would.
So total points, do you have an idea where we need to be?
Oh, it's always hard to call in the Championship. Forest wants to survive in the Championship, and we had over 40 points. We need to get promoted at least 80 or 90 points, I think.
I gotcha. If you played for Forest, what would be your squad number?
27, because my birthday's on the 27th of May.
I like it. And you'll score 27 goals. So,
yes, hopefully.
Yeah. All right. What position? Striker?
No, left wing.
Left wing. Okay. Do you play?
I used to play for a local team where I live, but I play it on the field with my friends at lunch. And let's just say everybody takes that game a bit too seriously. It's like the World Cup final playing with everybody. I did used to play. I'd like to get back into it, but maybe one day I could play at the City Ground on a charity game, something like that.
I love it. That'll happen. Funniest thing that's ever happened to you on camera?
These are good questions. Funniest thing ever that's happened to me. Oh, that's it. So I was interviewing these two guys, and I basically messaged one of them before and said, look, I'd been messaging one guy before, and his name was, I think it was James, and he went to me, oh, I'd love to have an interview with you. I was like, brilliant, meet me at so-and-so by at 6 o'clock. And this guy met me at 6 o'clock, so I assumed it was his name. I think his name was Jaden. I'm trying to cast my mind back to the story. It's Jaden or somebody. So I'm thinking, oh, brilliant, Jaden. It was Jaden and Neil with me. Neil had just come up to me on the night. So I went, so I'm here with Neil, and then we've got this other Forest fan and started going into it. And then halfway through the interview, I go, so what do you think about that, Jaden? And he went, my name's not Jaden, it's Liam. And it just made me laugh because I made a mistake. But I've done that before. Like, I've been interviewing Keith Andrews, who was on Sky, and I called him Craig at the end of the interview. I went, thanks for that, Craig. I'm like, what is going on in my head?
That's brilliant. And you know what? You'll get away with that for a while, but when you get hired by the big club, you got to stop that.
Hopefully.
That's really
good.
Fingers
crossed I will.
Yes, sir. Max, what player do you really want to interview?
I'd like to interview one of the new ones. So let's say Sammy Amiobi, the new recent signing.
Okay. Player you'd be most intimidated to interview?
Well, if it wasn't a player, it was a coach a few weeks ago when he was still at the club. I'd probably say Roy Keane. Okay. But he's obviously gone now. Player to be intimidated by? I don't know, really. Who seems quite tough and a bit scary? Probably Johan Benaloan.
Yeah. Okay.
The man with the mask who scored against Derby, probably him.
The real answer to that question is nobody. You're not scared of anybody, Max.
Exactly. I'll interview anybody.
That's right. Well, that's it. Hey, let me tell you something. Keep asking for the phone numbers, Max. It'll happen. And content is king. The problem with putting out good content is your fans are going to want more and more. So just keep putting it out there. Some will be great.
Exactly.
Some will be bad. But hey, at least you're putting it out there. And I'll tell you this. I found you on YouTube, and it became a resource to look into what's going on over there. NFFC fans across North America are finding you, and we want to thank you for your efforts. Can you explain to us how we should all say you Reds over here in the United States?
Okay, thank you for the kind comments. Brilliant that you're all watching me from over in the States. So I'd probably say, to say come on you Reds, you need to add a bit of passion to your voice. So this is how I'd say it. Come on you Reds. Big, or just scream, come on you Reds. You want to hear a big or a big one in your reds, or just add passion to your voice. Any way of saying it's good. If you just say "come on, you reds" to anyone. I was over on holiday in Spain a few months back, and there were some Forest fans, and I just went "come on, you reds," and they shouted back at me, "you reds."
That's right.
So it's Forest all over the world, and however you say it, all Forest fans love you for saying it.
All right, give me one big one, like we're playing Derby.
Let's go. Come on, you Reds.
Love it. Max, thanks for your time, and we'll be back
in touch. Thank you very much, guys.
Hey,
appreciate it.
Can't wait for the season to start, and we'll be watching.
Thank you. Thanks very much, mate. Thanks. Cheers.
Cheers.
Come on, you Reds.
Big thanks to Max for jumping on the Forest Fancast train. It's a great thing, and you should be sharing this with all of your friends. Max, thank you very much, and thank you for listening to episode 2 of the Forest Fancast. Find us online on Twitter @ Forest Fancast. Until next time, you Reds!